It gives me great pleasure to introduce your next speaker. I actually happen to be the president of NASBA this year. NASBA is the National Alliance of State Broadcasters Associations. In essence, there's one of me in every state in the country, plus Puerto Rico. We are called NASBA, and I'm the president of that group this year. And as part of my initiative as being NASBA president, I have been honored to have worked closely with Paul Brenner and Libby Heipel in the back on the Next Radio Tag Station initiative. I have introduced Paul for several sessions around the country this year. I think it's absolutely fabulous. As a matter of fact, I actually went out and bought my Android phone, the HTC One M8, simply because it does have Next Radio in it. I think it is truly remarkable. So, Paul Brenner is MS Communications Senior Vice President, Chief Technology Officer of Next Radio Tag Station, and President of the Broadcaster Traffic Consortium, working to move radio from traditional broadcasting and business models to technology-oriented consumer solutions. His most recent leadership role involves getting FM analog and digital radio standard in smartphones, Next Radio, and establishing terrestrial radio with hybrid connectivity as the next generation of radio listener and advertiser engagement, Tag Station. Brenner also serves as president of the Broadcaster Traffic Consortium, a partnership of more than 24 radio companies throughout the U.S. and Canada, formed to distribute data and advertising via FM and HD radio technology. Brenner received the 2012 NAB Radio Engineering Achievement Award for his work in developing the BTC. I am honored to welcome Paul Brenner.
I know, I need to run more.
Okay, she's going to leave now. Thanks, Michelle. It was very nice. Oh, you're going to stick around. Okay, she said I have to go very fast so you guys can start having drinks. That's what she told me on the way off the stage, just really quickly. So thank you for inviting me. I know this is a very technical group, and normally there's a gentleman that works for us named Ben Hoosman who does a lot of these speeches with me. Maybe you've seen him present at the NAB show in Vegas. Has a big mohawk, dark mohawk. He had his baby last week, so you get me, and that's a okay trade-off. So I'll just pop through this information and hopefully give you some insights into not just kind of some things that we're doing that are pretty exciting for our industry, but some very specific things that you as technology leaders can be a part of to help that go faster. Okay, it's really important that we go quickly here. So I'll start with a button that needs to, there we go. So generally, I want to go through two very important pieces. One is the receiver and one is the transmitter, and not in the sense that you would normally think about it. Not specifically a receiver, just like a tuner in a car dashboard or in a portable transistor radio, and not just a transmitter in the sense of a piece of steel in a field, more in the sense of kind of today's environment. A receiver being something with enhanced visuals and interactive elements. A transmitter maybe being a combination of what you received over the air through FM and the data that could come over the internet to supplement that audio. So just kind of thinking about that at a high level. So I'll walk through a couple of things with you, and it's called Integrated Data Services for Enhanced Radio, and maybe some people in the room remember visual radio. It was a thing, maybe some of you are nodding, yes, which eventually became Spotronic, if anybody follows the story in Europe, which was essentially the visual enhancement of over-the-air radio. And so I'll walk you through a couple of those things that we have brought to the U.S. and commercialized. So if I start with the smartphone effort, I'm sure everybody has heard of Next Radio. People are familiar with this technology, yes. So I did the deal with Sprint to launch this product in 2013. 2013, around June 2013, and it came to market August 2013. And just last week, we launched the newest version of Next Radio, which is shown on the screen here. And of course, you know, it's not streaming. It's an FM tuner. It's an FM chip turned on in the phone. And the app, Next Radio, is the visual enhancement. What you're seeing up there is kind of the newest version of the guide, which I'll get to this at the end and how we populate this and the technical aspects. But these are real-time tiles. So essentially, when the end user turns on their receiver, which is their FM-enabled smartphone, and they launch the app to start listening to radio, the smartphone checks into this service that I'll talk about in a second and says, hey, I'm in Middleton, Wisconsin. This is my GPS location. Let me look up in the FCC database what stations are near me, use some spatial values, maybe a vector relationship of my location to the edge of the contour, do a little calculation, and display the stations that this person can tune to using Next Radio. All happens in about 100 milliseconds, and that guide is presented, which is exactly what is airing at this moment in time on all of those FM stations in their listening area. That is the sense of the live guide. So people can see what is playing on your stations without tuning to the station, without walking through Seek Scan or hitting preset buttons up and down the dial. The visual representation is what we have chosen to do as kind of a new way of thinking about radio. So we launched with Sprint, like I said, in August of 2013. We were on one phone, the HTC One. Actually, the HTC Evo was our pilot phone, but the HTC One was our first phone. In August of 2013, we ramped pretty quickly, adding phone after phone, month after month. And with each phone, then it's preloaded in the market. And then we expected people to launch Next Radio. When they launch Next Radio, they become an active listener. So the top line, the 1 million, is those people who have bought a phone that had an FM tuner and Next Radio enabled and chose to listen to it. So we have about 10 million phones. Actually, about 5.5 million of those are Sprint phones. And we've converted about 1 million of those Sprint preload phones into listeners. We grow 140,000 to 170,000 people a month are added as Next Radio listeners. So these are portable FM people outside of their car, which is the majority of listening in the United States. These are portable radios. That's amazing, right? Portable radio. Who ever heard of that before? Well, unfortunately, the aftermarket and the portable market has diminished almost nothing. The Walkman has shrunk drastically, obviously. I can tell you this through Ubiquiti's pains. They tried to sell some portable radios and didn't have a lot of success. It's just not something people purchase. So by putting this back into the smartphone, the portability has kind of rejuvenated, and that's really what we're excited about. So we started with one HTC phone on Sprint. We're now on 30 models. You can go to Sprint.com. They actually have a checkbox to the left that says filter this down to only phones with FM enabled, which is a nice feature. And you'll see the 30 phones listed there. They might just show Sprint phones, but Boost and Virgin Mobile, which are prepaid platforms, are included in that 30. And then we launched our first tablet, the Galaxy 4. So good growth, an early day for sure, but a great place to start. And then about 3 months ago, we found out something really cool. We had started with HTC One. HTC in Taipei had adopted all of the Next Radio specifications for FM tuners. So we had presented them a list of specifications to develop the hardware, the tuner, the sensitivity, the audio routing, all of the hardcore engineering, and then the software drivers that lay in that smartphone. They adopted our specification in just a strange twist of fate. And now every HTC phone that is sold in the United States has FM radio enabled. So any carrier you go to, there are about 40, if you didn't know that, including MVNOs, buy an HTC phone of any form, current day, and it will be FM enabled. You go to Google Play, you search for Next Radio, and you can add it to the smartphone. That would be the HTC One 1M8, Desire, Desire 510, Desire 610, HTC One Mini 2, or HTC Remix. If you want me to slow down so you can write that all down, I could say them again. So what's that done for adoption? So now we have about five and a half million FM portable radios back in the market on Sprint. We have another 4 or 5 million on HTC phones. What does that mean? So when we first started this, we got a lot of debate that that being on just Sprint alone would not be a national platform. We would not find national adoption because Sprint just was not in enough cities. Well, we've pretty much proven that wrong. There's about 10,950 licensed FM stations in the United States. As of, well, it's pretty much plateaued, 10,500 of those stations have been tuned to through Next Radio. So if you own an FM station, you're in this room, pretty good odds that your station's being listened to through Next Radio on someone's smartphone. On a daily basis, that number is actually about 3,400 today, average listened to through Next Radio. So we also sustain a pretty good return rate on those 10,500. And 1,400,000 total hours of listening since we launched. One really interesting piece about this, and this kind of leads into why radio is still important, it took us a year to get 1 million total hours of listening. 1 year. We will double that listening in 3 months. And it is increasing even faster than that. So just by putting these phones in people's hands and making it available, giving them something fun to look at and play with, we're getting listener growth. So that was the Next Radio aspect. That's the FM smartphone. It's the work we've done for I've been working on it for about 5 years now and launched in 2013. That was really where we started with Next Radio. In the very first days, this was probably 2012, we were funded by the NAB Labs. We built one phone with ZTE. It cost $1 million, and it was the first Next Radio prototype phone. And they were willing to put an HD receiver in there and kind of do some work with this, and that's where we started. Obviously, it didn't go to market. But what it did do is start a very nice relationship with us, with Next Radio and Tag Station and Ubiquiti. And over the course of time, we developed Tag Station, our back-end cloud that I'll talk about and walk you through, to feed Next Radio. And we adapted to the importer and exporter that HD Radio sells and has sold through Nautel and Harris and others, or Gates Air. And we now are the sole provider, service provider, of the artist experience as a third party. Obviously, Clear Channel has their own service for this. And we now work directly with Ubiquiti. And at the radio show in September, we announced our partnership with Ubiquiti to take Next Radio to another level and bring Next Radio into the dashboard of the car. And that was already underway for probably about a year and a half now. I've been working with Ford and some others. But this, what I'm showing you is today, we use the enhanced platform that HD Radio has sold into the cars, and we are supporting that as well with visuals. So the source of the album art, the artist and title, the accuracy of the album name, the genre matching, to the proper HD 1, 2, or 3, or 4 channel. That's all done by us and people that subscribe to Tag Station to get the enhanced data will ultimately show up on an HD artist experience dashboard. And what are those numbers? So today, Ubiquiti says they have about 17 million cars on the road that are doing HD radio natively. And of those, we have several brands that are artist experience enabled. So here we have the smartphone market, which is FM radio activated tuner in the smartphone, enhanced by visual experience. And now we have this burgeoning automobile platform, which was enabled by HD radio initially, and the artist experience. And if you paid attention to the Dash conference at all out of Detroit, you now have this connected car segment, which is essentially saying that just being FM radio or just being HD radio as an audio element is not good enough. That if you're going to compete with the other visual interactive spaces, the Pandoras, the Pure Plays, even the NPR ones or the Kalikis or whoever is providing content into those smartphones and those dashboards, you essentially have to, as radio companies, present an enhanced visual experience. So that's essentially the receiver market that we've developed over the last, like I said, 5 years. And so what I'll do now is I'll kind of move into the technical overview and the product side of how we do that. And this is where you guys can really probably learn a few things about how you can help. And I'm sure that some of you in the room already utilize this service. But if you haven't, please pay attention and follow up with us after the speech. But if we move down into the metadata, the metadata source. So Next Radio is what I refer to for the smartphone and eventually the car dashboard. HD Artist Experience is something we support natively with Ubiquiti. But the way we do this is we have a cloud service. And cloud's kind of a buzzword, I know, but we call it Tag Station. And what we've essentially done is created a cloud service that takes all the manual functions, the metadata source functions, which might be a stream of raw ASCII data or an IP server stream or a direct now playing source out of your playout system, and we've essentially moved that up to a cloud level. We've written software that moves the information at your playout level into this cloud service where you can essentially manage it, you being yourselves, or programmers, or salespeople, or traffic managers, or music directors, and they can essentially visit this cloud and get a holistic view of your playout system and all of the metadata about that playout system. And our job at TagStation is to synchronize the over-the-air audio with the visual enhancement. So as the audio changes, and I've shown just a brief example, we'll dig down this a little bit. So if you're airing a Geico commercial and there's metadata available about that event, we're pushing it to the smartphone over the IP channel, whether that's 3G, 4G, or Wi-Fi, and we're essentially pushing it over the HD experience to the automobile through your importer and exporter broadcast transmission. And like I said, we'll dig into this to a minute, but just at a top level, this is what TagStation is. It's the movement away from a manual and very linear space on your playout system to a cloud-based distribution platform. So there's some great big bubbles, and the bubbles actually have numbers. It makes it a little easier to read. So if we kind of move left to right, obviously your automation system is the origin of your songs, your commercials, your promo, your audio cuts, and the metadata that you might see in that, Scott Studios, Wide Orbit, RCS, Zeta, audio, you know, all those different platforms. And this is something that you clearly are managing at your local station. One of the biggest ways that we get data out is through middleware, and we'll talk about those in a second, but that would be your traditional TREs, your Patapults, Arctic Palm, so on and so forth. And we're reading that data out into an XML file and pushing it into this cloud service. And this is really the beginning of kind of scrubbing that data and taking your metadata and giving you something to work with. I'll walk you through those screens in just a second. And as this cloud service scrubs the data and you do your thing to make it be what you want it to be, we're either returning it back to your station for you to broadcast out RDS or out HD, or we're pushing it to the smartphone. So again, this is that cloud service that takes that information, moves it up to the level that is more like today's internet world, and prepares it for distribution, and also does the distribution, okay? So metadata services are really kind of the heart of this thing, and I'm going to drop down one level here in a second, but this is a little more simplified model because we started kind of with this kind of lots of loops and lots of things happening around here, and over time we've been trying to simplify this to make it easier for people to implement. And so one of the things that we've done is gone to this place where we have middleware that can take a couple steps out of that, either through implementation or through work implementation by you at the broadcast level, or some implementation work that we've done directly with the playout system folks. So The examples that I gave you are your traditional middleware boxes, right? TRE or the Radio Experience by Broadcast Electronics, Center Stage Live by Arctic Palm, Stu Buck, and those guys, Jumpgate, Alan Hartle, Patapult with Gene. And then we added this piece at the bottom here called Slingshot. And the reason we did that is because the implementations of these systems are quite extensive. I mean, they're comprehensive sets of middleware that offer a lot of functionality. Not only can you use your middleware to talk to TaxStation, but you can send it to your streaming encoder and your news site and your website and all these different things. People found this to be a little too complicated. If they already had it, it was pretty straightforward. If they had to go get it, it was expensive to them and too difficult to get going or too much time commitment. So we created this new platform called Slingshot, which is something if you're a subscriber of TaxStation, then for free we provide this little Windows-based piece of middleware that talks to pretty much any playout system. We've been working with all these guys directly, the Wide Orbits and so on and so forth. And so now you can grab this piece of software for $0 and usually setup time, if you know IP addresses of your playout system and firewall, the setup time is usually an hour or two to get everything working. And then more recently, we've done some pretty great things initially with Wide Orbit. If you have the newest version of Wide Orbit, there's actually a capability to enable TaxStation and not require any middleware. So the metadata can be fed directly from your playout directly into the TaxStation cloud. And then at the radio show, we announced a similar arrangement with RCS on both Zeta and NextGen. It's not publicly available yet. If you visit the RCS booth, they'll tell you it's not something we have today, but this is software we're working on pretty actively, and I expect that to be done very quickly because it's actually quite simple to do this work. So I mentioned Slingshot, and I just want to clarify one thing. There's really only two uses for Slingshot. One is to support Next Radio, the smartphone app, for visual representation. So that's a one-way communication. Your playout system tells our cloud what you want the metadata to be. We send it to the app. And the other is very basic HD PSD, HD pad. We do not send album art back to your radio station with Slingshot. If you want to do that kind of advanced feature, you do have to go acquire one of the other platforms that we mentioned, okay? And that's for some competitive reasons. We're not trying to reinvent what those guys are doing. We're just trying to make some of the simple things a little easier. So on the HD side, we limit that to just artist and title is what will return back to your station for broadcast. And as I mentioned, it is free for any TaxStation subscriber. So I'm just going to walk you through a few of the screens. Is anybody here on TaxStation? Does anybody use that? So I got a few hands up. Okay. You can take a nap. I'll just fly through this pretty quickly. So like I said, you know, our goal here was to move the metadata management of your station from, you know, the manual kind of inside your typical playout systems or maybe your edit bay's capability to manage metadata or headers about cuts that are in your system, move that up to a cloud level, make it a little easier to manage that content, and then add all the metadata values that you would ultimately want to push into the smartphone and into the enhanced car dashboard. Okay. So what I have shown you on the screen is really kind of first of few screens that I'll walk through. This is the songs page. So this, if you're an all music station, you'll note that what we're doing is providing you just a raw list of all the songs that you have either played out, and we've monitored that and kind of built this list over time, or you've taken some kind of an ASCII output file from your playout system and uploaded it in bulk to TaxStation, and then they would just show up, and you would then go have to manage them. We use Gracenote, if you're familiar with Gracenote as an album art company. We run algorithms that we've written over time to auto-match songs as much as possible, to filter for bad words. The George Carlin list is in the background. And to the best of our ability, match songs without any intervention from you or any staff at your station. And we can achieve pretty high rates, 80 to 85% accuracy, excluding rap and hip hop. That we have a lot of trouble with that because of featuring. But typically, you know, especially classic rock or country, things that are pretty straightforward textually, we can match pretty well. We can get over 90% accuracy on some of those other more straightforward formats. So essentially what you do, once you've matched up, you come in here, somebody looks at the songs, they can click on unmatched songs, and it would show, you know, a list of songs that you need to match in the album art you want to match it to. I hit the wrong button. And essentially, your job is to look at the song that comes out of your playout system, find the associated album art, artist and title for the album or song that you want it to be. Maybe it's from one album or another, more popular in some of the classic rock genres. But there's always many, many matches, whether it's a single or an album cut, or maybe it's from a movie soundtrack. The person at the station wants to make sure this is the actual artist and title and album cover for the song that they are playing. And you would match it, and then you say okay, and then you never have to match it again. And then, of course, in a lot of stations, you know, people will come and play in your studio. So we have this feature where you can manually make it whatever image you want and manually make it your track, artist, and album name. This is really popular for people that do live studio performances, and they want to show just a custom image of the work that they've done and the work they produced at their station. So moving on to a couple other aspects of this. If you've used Next Radio, you notice a guide, and there's a release that we put out, and we've been this way since day one. Free logo. Basically, if you no station is left out of our app. If it's on the dial, it's in the app, and that's, you know, that's because, you know, we're agnostic. We're not a third party trying to make money off the industry. We're radio broadcasters. We built this for broadcasters, and so long as you want to, you know, giving your identity in the app something you want it to look like is available in perpetuity for free. So you can visit tagstation.com, say sign up. You'll get a little note from somebody at our support center. They'll get your email address. They'll send you some credentials. And you'll come back and you'll log into this screen and you'll say, hey, after you've proved that you're legitimately a member of the station, you'll say, hey, here's my call sign. Here's the genre I want to be listed in the enhanced ad and the enhanced radio experience, slogan, a little description, a little tagline about yourself. The logo you want to be displayed in the app, you know, probably going to be your station's logo, and the, you know, standard text that you want to show up when people look at you inside the app. And then there's some primary actions on the right. We have some things like, you know, place a call to the station, visit the website of the station. These are all available in Next Radio. And then you're defining what you want those values to be. So these are basically metadata fields. We've just put them into a format that makes it easier for you to manage them. So the next piece is campaigns, and this is where we get into commercial advertising, promotional values, same effect as you would see with songs, although typically you have to come up with the visuals and the metadata yourself. There is no grace note of advertisers. So what you'll see that looks really familiar is instead of cut IDs, you start to see things show up here like cut ID or com ID. Or program a promotion ID, where, you know, you've identified what that value is in your on-air playout system that we're going to see in the cloud, and then everything that you want to be displayed in the app, Next Radio or the car, you're filling in here. Now this would probably be a programmer or a promotions person that would build these pieces of copy and creative. But again, this is all information that you're going to be seeing displayed inside the enhanced visual radio experience. I've talked about music stations, I've talked about commercial stations, and so the news, or commercial elements, news talk, sports format. We've added this feature actually about middle last year where you can do block programming. And so instead of each event, so song, promo, jingle, commercial, song, commercial, whatever, being the, I hope you got that joke. So So the you know, the elements that we string together inside of TagStation are typically very linear. In this format, we do time block. And so what you can do is build blocks of time on your new sports talk format that say over, you know, this period of time and this time of the day, make sure this is the element that's displayed inside of the visual radio experience. So you would come in and define, you know, a time block, you know, say, you know, in the 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., I don't know what that, or 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. is what he's highlighted here. And then you would define, you know, it's a morning show, morning coffee, delightful conversation. You know, what enhancements do you want displayed in the app at that time? This particular morning show wants to have this website URL displayed and this phone number on the touch to talk. So pretty straightforward. You build the time blocks. It's pretty much a set it and forget it technology, unless your program clock changes. So a lot of times what we see is on news sports talk formats, they'll come in here, they'll spend a day, they'll build their clock, get their creative, set it all up, and then just let it ride. And that's pretty common. We have some great examples, Hubbard Media, Cox Media, quite a few small companies that have gone in, taken the time to do this, and inside the live guide, whatever elements on the air, whether it's maybe a picture of like a national player like Rush Limbaugh or their local host or the topic of the day, the guide kind of shows something very visual that attracts people to that station. And then once they're there, there's an interactive element that's presented to them. Again, you have to think like more like the internet. It is local transmitted radio, but we're trying to show something that makes people want to interact with it like the internet. This is our old app. Genre sorting. It's still available in the new version, but we try to promote the live guide more. But I showed you in the beginning kind of picking your call sign. This is all under the free logo service. Essentially, if you don't do anything, this is just a squiggly line right there. It just says your frequency and a squiggly line. It's an FM waveform. But it's blank. You go in the other genre. There's no moniker that demonstrates your brand or your tagline. So this is worth the 10 minutes. If you haven't gone to tagstation.com for your station and at least signed up for free logo, you should do that right after this. And then all the other things I've shown you are visual elements that Libby Heipel, who's with me, and she's out in the booth over here in the showcase area, she can give you information about TagStation. I guarantee you, for the price that you pay for streaming, TagStation is a drop in the bucket. It's not something that we have to give a lot of sales pitches on because it's not expensive, especially for what you're getting out of it. But I would encourage you to at least participate in the free logo service so that when the people using the phone, the millions of people that are now using the phone, smartphone app, they see you listed properly and aesthetically. So as I mentioned, these are the movements from your local kind of data you would just rip into a system or create as your own local cut or promo or commercial piece of audio. And you know, there's a lot of bad habits out there. I know when I took over technology for MS probably 10 years ago, this was a policy change for us that the programmers and the people involved in inputting data into their playout system, they were held accountable. They had to follow rules about length and syntax and all these things. And this was before TagStation ever existed. But what we find is that when we first hook into a local radio station, I don't care if you're a big group or a small group, a lot of times it's pretty ugly. You know, all caps, abbreviations, people putting notes to themselves in fields that are MP3 headers. So on and so forth, and then it's our job to kind of match that and clean it up so ultimately when the enhanced visual gets to the receiver, that user feels it's as good as the internet, you know, that it's as good as Pandora, as good as Slacker or Last.fm or whatever interface they're using. But the garbage in, garbage out rule applies. So, you know, the cleaner you can be starting at the playout system, the more accuracy you'll get out of the cloud kind of automatically, and then you can revisit the cloud and kind of tweak it and finish it. There's been a couple articles written lately by programmers, and I'm happy to get those from Michelle to distribute, but a lot of times the pushback is I don't have time. There's not enough resources. I'm handling streaming and HD formats and the analog station and the AM station and so on and so forth. But what we found is that whether it's song or news talk sports, If somebody spends just maybe a day worth of time over a week's period, they can pretty much get this thing set up, and then they spend probably less than an hour. Some people say maybe half an hour a week just checking in on the songs. There's an alert notification feature in TaxStation that says, hey, you have unmatched songs. You need to go in and take care of them. It's really about consistency and checking in and keeping it current. And as I mentioned, setting up an on-air schedule is really important, not just for News Talk Sports, but for music stations, so that if you go into a day break that you want to promote something, that it rotates something other than your station logo. Say you're promoting an air show. The Chicago Air Show is a big one. They don't want their default logo. Every time they're in a break, they want the air show logo to be on the screen. Those are the kind of things you could go in and set up one time and just let it run for a cycle. Sales and promotions are really kind of where we're headed at this point. We travel around now to the media agencies, the buyers. There's enough phones in the market now. There's enough good runway for us as far as growth, that the media agencies that are paying attention to the Pandoras and starting to spend money with the Twitters and the Facebooks, they're looking for ways to get radio back in the play here, because they do believe in radio. It's just that the people they buy for don't. And so if you talk to, say, a MediaVest or a Starcom, who represent a Walmart or, you know, somebody of that caliber, they want something more. And so what we've been doing is going around and talking about some of these capabilities. So what will happen over time here is the song matching and the promos will give way to enhanced ad dollars, where you might be selling spots in commercials. But then let's say that was a $100 spot. You could sell an enhanced ad for another $25 and see the visual and get the interactivity. And that's really the ultimate goal here, is to find growth again in the industry. That's where we're all trying to get to. And what we often tell people, if you become a TaxStation customer, or if you are a TaxStation customer, when you go into campaigns, it'll look very familiar to you. Because what we did as broadcasters is built use cases that mirror what you do on air. What do you do on the air? You tell people to call a number, to visit a website, to text to win, to, you know, visit an event. And those are the use cases that we have inside the cloud. So, again, I would encourage you to get involved with that a little bit more. It's where it's going. We're having no trouble getting attention. But the number one pushback is, can your industry really pull that off? And so we really need you guys to be great advocates and help push this to a place where it's available to your market, and then advocate the use of it inside of your stations. Go out there and be not just an engineer, but a technology leader for your company. I think that's a really good opportunity for you guys. And with that, I have about 9 minutes according to that timer, and you can either ask questions or go drink beer, your choice. But I'll take a couple questions.
For your cloud service, how extensive does it is it in terms of the stations that it reports? I'm thinking, you know, FM translators of AM stations, small community radio stations. Are all of those included when it reports what's available in the area?
If it's in the FCC database, it's in the guide.
And if they're not, if they haven't done anything, like they haven't taken advantage of your free logo service or not part of Tag Station, do you just put up a generic KCLD, whatever?
Yeah, it's whatever call sign and frequency are in the database, in the FCC registered database, and a little picture of an FM waveform. And that's the display within the app. So it's more typical in your smaller markets. You know, I think on the bigger markets, say, and I'll say 100 or bigger, we're pretty much covered. We have 6,500 stations listed in the database now, with some visual element and some guide, or even more, Tag Station. So we're getting there, but we need really all 10,500. And it's a great question, because when I meet with Apple and I try to get this in the iPhone, their number one pushback is your industry is not together enough. If it's not the same in every market and functioning the same, then we're not interested in you. So that's why it's really important that we all kind of take a role in getting all those little cracks filled in.
So HD radio aside, I'm seeing more cars with actual apps in their dashboard. Would Next Radio ever be a subsidized data service that's using the car's 4G connection?
It absolutely will be.
And then using your regular over-the-air broadcast.
So there's FM. So that's a great question. So there's really two things we've been working on for about 2 years now. Yes, we will be, absolutely. And we'll be in there in three ways. We'll be in there as an app that would be like a Ford Sync app link, where we'll just be Next Radio. We'll be an icon right next to Pandora or iHeartRadio or whatever. We'll be a core radio where when you say, let me play AM or FM, when the radio starts, it won't be Next Radio. It'll just be a visual experience brought to you by Next Radio. That'd be the second way. And then the third way will be a companion app. So when you pair your phone Bluetooth, an old radio, which might have Bluetooth pairing but no screen, you'd have a frequency in the car and all the visual elements brought to you on the smartphone. So those are the three things that are very actively being developed. The reality is Ibiquity, whether you love them or hate them, put 15 years into automaker relationships, and they have people all over the world that work on those relationships. I don't have those people, but I have a great app. So that's why I partner with them. They're going to help that go fast, and you'll see that in the market in 2015 or 2016. In the car.
Just wondering, has there been any development work on AM reception or AM HD reception?
We don't develop specifically AM or AM HD technology. I mean, I'm active in the NABRTC, and I'm vice chair of the North American Broadcast Association. I mean, we're connected to it. Next Radio is aware of it. Today, we don't include AM stations in the guide unless they have an FM translator associated with them. But that doesn't mean we won't. I mean, that's not hard. That's just a matter of ingesting those into the database. The really hard part is try to draw a plotted contour with vectors on an AM contour. I mean, it's pretty tough, right? I mean, and that's the really challenging part about that. But the automakers have definitely asked for it. You know, they definitely have interest in it, aside from BMW's, you know, iCar. But the AM is something that we haven't forgotten. It's just that we haven't built it yet, mostly because you can't fit the little antenna in a smartphone, so that wasn't going to happen. And you can't fit HD in a smartphone, so that didn't happen. But the AM in the car will drive that. Great.
I got one question.
Oh,
for your contours things, what are you using for contours? A 1 millivolt or a real contour where there's actual reception out to?
It's class specific. So we do use just the straight class A, B, C contour, Super B, and then we plot that on a KML, and we use a power ratio to reduce that down to slightly below the drawn contour. So
if you're using 1 millivolt, you're not going out as far as actual people get their
reception. Because the sensitivity on smartphones, at least because that's where we are, ranges substantially from, you could imagine an HTC or a Samsung does care about reception, but a ZTE or a Kyocera doesn't give a crap about reception, so they don't put the gates, they don't put the sensitivity. So we've kind of found a middle ground of sensitivity.
Someplace between a car radio and a boombox.
Close to that. That's a good assessment. So we tweak that all the time, and in fact, in the new version, in the old version, we would only plot your GPS location relative to the FCC contour at the time you started the app, and then every 6 kilometers or 12 kilometers if you moved, and now we do it all the time. And so we've gotten really good at it. The guide is pretty accurate at this point. It's a year of work.
Yeah, I asked that because you scan a car radio and it misses half the stations you can get when you manually.
Yeah, unfortunately, the FM tuner in the smartphone is still young, and we aren't given that value. We aren't given a sensitivity value to work with. We have on-off volume, right? Seek, scan, PI code sometimes, almost no RBDS to work with. So we had to go to this spatial value service that we built. And we think it's actually pretty good. You can get a guide that is pretty accurate in about 100 milliseconds, and it's pretty strong. It's pretty good. Sorry to go geek on you there for a second. Any more questions? No? Well, thank you again for the opportunity, and I hope you guys visit Libby in our booth and take a look at what we're doing. Okay? Thank you.